Chapter 2. Dawn of Morning. Dawn's first rays of light peeked through the open window, illuminating the small, sparsely furnished room. Kyrus Hinterdale groaned and rolled over, turning his face from the offending light, knowing it was his own fault for leaving the window open last night. It was late spring, and in the same window that had let in such fragrant, refreshing breezes overnight had robbed him of an hour's sleep at the least. It was not that he particularly needed the extra sleep. He was quite well rested. But the sun's unwelcome intrusion had interrupted a most interesting dream. A dream about... Drat, now I cannot even remember. Kyrus often remembered bits and pieces of his dreams, not just in the groggy moments immediately after awakening. As a scribe, Kyrus had little enough to add excitement to his days, without forgetting the interesting bits his slumbering mind conjured up for his entertainment each night. With a resigned sigh, he sat up in bed, rubbed the last remnants of sleep from his bleary eyes, and threw off the bedsheets. Shambling across his small room, Kyrus reached the basin he kept on a table in the corner. He splashed some tepid water over his face, and looked at his reflection in the small, polished silver mirror that his employer, expert Davin, had given him. Kyrus saw what he had seen each morning since he'd received the gift: a pale, angular face, blue-green eyes, and a mop of sandy blonde hair, adorned with a sickly little beard, so light it was barely noticeable. He would have shaved it off, but he looked young enough that on the rare occasion he indulged in wine, the barkeeps would always ask him whether he had reached the age of accountability, which indeed he had, 5 years ago. Once out on the city streets after a quick breakfast, Kyrus stretched and let out a yawn, filling his lungs with the fresh morning air. If there was a better way to start off the day, Kyrus was not aware of it. Kyrus managed a leisurely pace, his full stomach slowing his normally brisk pace somewhat. He used the extra time his early rise bought him to give himself a chance to try to figure out what expert Davin was planning. Expert Davin had been telling him all week that he had a big surprise planned for him. The old man was normally quite jovial, but this whole business with Kyrus's surprise, whatever it was, had him nearly giddy of late. Kyrus resolved not to consider the subject of his employer's recent strange behavior, and to focus directly on his work for the day. It was a high-minded plan, and one that deep down he knew was doomed for failure. But until he actually sat down to start working, Kyrus entertained thoughts of keeping to it. The problem was that nothing he could think of made much sense. Davin had been promising for some time now that he would get Kyrus admitted to the Scrivener's Guild as a full member, but that was almost a formality. Kyrus's work was exemplary, even if he did say so himself, and a brief perusal of his work would have been enough to gain him membership, if expert Davin recommended him. He could not picture Davin getting as worked up about the whole affair if that was it. His favorite theory, which had Davin playing matchmaker for Kyrus with some mysterious niece, would at least explain why Davin had been so jovial lately. Davin had expressed concern a number of times to Kyrus that if he did not get out more, he would end up like Davin, an old man with no family of his own. However, Davin had told Kyrus he had only one sibling, a brother some 8 years or so his senior. Kyrus snorted in amusement at the very thought. Davin was nearly old enough to be his own grandfather, and any niece Davin might have would have to be at least his mother's age. "And my dear Juliana, I would like to introduce you to your future husband. Oh my, wait, that cannot be any apprentice of mine, looking like some sort of ink-speckled shut-in." Kyrus grinned to himself, trying to imagine Davin introducing him to some fictional niece he could not possibly have. It was a bit of a stretch, of course. Davin was less likely to notice a bit of ink and an unruly mop of hair than he was to suddenly grow his own hair back. Still, he should keep up appearances for the sake of Davin's reputation among his colleagues, who, if he had gathered correctly from Davin's veiled hints over the course of the week, were likely to be in attendance this evening. And besides, who knew when he might run into a woman without Davin having arranged it for him? With no promising new theories coming to light on that particular walk, Kairos arrived back at his employer's establishment. The wooden sign above the door hung out toward the street on a wrought iron bracket and swung gently in the morning breeze, proclaiming the building to belong to Davin Chartler, expert scrivener. The carved wooden letters were bold and plain, and had been painted over in white to make them more visible against the dark-stained background. The letters were the only features of the sign, which made it quite unique among the establishments of Scar Harbor. Most other businesses would have carved a symbol on their signs, indicating what sort of work went on there, many without even lettering to accompany them. A great many of the folk who lived in the Kingdom of Acardia could not read and found the places they needed by picture. A horseshoe indicated a blacksmith, a loaf of bread adorned the baker's sign, and a needle and thread meant a tailor's shop. Expert Davin had little use for the illiterate professionally, so he forewent the customary quill and inkpot that graced the signs of scribes throughout the rest of the kingdom. His stance had likely cost him a bit of business over the years, penning letters and writing up contracts for those who could not write, but his moral stance had gained him respect among the guild membership and freed up more of his time for other work he considered more rewarding. Shutting the door, Kairos was once again surrounded by a stuffy feeling in the air, at once both comfortable and a bit stifling. Visitors to the establishment frequently complained that it smelled strongly of equal parts musty old books and cat. The cat was a gray mongrel of indeterminate breeding named Ash, who had free run of the building. Ash was a mouser, and quite a good one. He had worked for Davin longer than Kairos had by some years, and his skills had given him quite a large girth. He weighed more than some dogs Kairos had seen. Ash's eyes followed Kairos's path as he crossed the main room to his chair, which Ash was currently occupying. The chair was high-backed and solidly built out of oak, and the hard seat gave Kairos awful aches, or at least it used to. Ever since he had gotten a cushion to pad the seat, Ash had taken to napping on it. Knowing he would not be allowed to remain in his favorite napping spot once Kairos managed to cross the cluttered room, Ash stretched himself out and, with a sidelong look at Kairos, hopped to the floor. Kairos lost sight of the animal as he stepped around a small table with a chessboard on it, careful not to disturb the pieces. As he got over to his chair and sat down to begin his day's work, he caught a glimpse of Ash padding up the stairs. Kairos could not help but smile. The door to Davin's room did not shut quite right, and if Ash was determined to get in... A string of curses punctuated Kairos's thought.
What the... Get your tail out of my face! How many times do I...
Davin's voice trailed off, and Kairos turned to his desk and dipped a quill into his inkpot. Good morning, Kairos thought, then chuckled to himself. It was nearly half an hour later before Davin emerged from upstairs, suitably dressed to meet the day. He was of an age at which a more wealthy man would have considered retiring to the countryside. Over the years, Davin had grown thick around the middle from good eating and little strenuous work, though he could hardly be considered fat. He occasionally joked that his hair behaved like a flock of sparrows. Each year it migrated north, but unlike the sparrows, it inconveniently forgot the trip back south. What little was left of his once black hair had long since gone to gray. His eyes seemed to be those of a much younger man, twinkling from behind a pair of wire-rimmed spectacles and reflecting the joy from a broad smile.
Fair morning, my boy. How does this fine day find you?
It finds me quite well, Kairos replied, returning his employer's infectious smile. Has it found you yet? Davin took the jest in the spirit in which it was given, and they settled into their morning routine. Kairos watched Davin write for some time while feigning interest in his own work. His own quill had gone bone dry, and he had been scratching at the same beleaguered piece of parchment for over an hour. Several times, as Davin continued to write, Kairos tried to peek over the top of his employer's writing desk, raising himself in his chair as much as he could without drawing attention to himself. He did not want to upset Davin by spying on him, especially when tonight was supposed to be the end of his week-long ordeal of curiosity, but he could not help himself. His work had fallen behind, but he silently assured himself that he would be able to catch up starting tomorrow, once he knew what all the mystery lately had been about. Until then, he more or less just gave up and tried to covertly indulge his curiosity. Hopeless as it might seem with Davin, apparently committed to keeping his secret until the promised time. Davin was an honest man, almost to a fault. But if the king ever had need of a spy, Kairos doubted he would be able to find one craftier than Davin. Kairos got the feeling that Davin had been hanging clues in front of him all week, enjoying the opportunity to have a little fun with him. He was sure that whatever Davin was writing had something to do with what he was going to find out that evening. When evening finally came, Kairos gratefully put away the parchment that had been tormenting him for the past few hours, a treatise on the enlightened state of the kingdom's justice system, commissioned by the local magistrate, Lord Kenric Lionsvin. He wiped his ink-stained fingertips on his handkerchief, as best he could, though a black tinge of it remained, which never seemed to go away anymore. Hurrying up the stairs, he splashed a little water on his face and ran his more or less clean fingers through his hair to straighten out the tangles a bit. After a glance at his reflection in the mirror, he pronounced himself fit for public viewing. Kairos generally did not give much thought to his appearance, but tonight was likely to be a bit of a spectacle, if he had judged Davin correctly. He would hate to be an embarrassment to his friend should he arrive looking like he had just lost a fight with his own inkpot. The streets were quieting down as Kairos made his way to the Brown Elk Tavern to meet Davin. The sun had just cast its last rays of light over the horizon and was giving way to twilight. Shopkeepers were closing their doors, peddlers packing up their carts and wagons, and fest halls were admitting their clientele for the evening. Kairos passed a man carrying a large tin jug, reeking of kerosene, who was making his way down Westfall Street, lighting and refilling the lamps that kept the cobblestone street lit through the night. Kairos nodded a greeting to the man, whose name he had never learned, and received a sidelong glance in return. Kairos paid little heed to the indifferent response, since he evoked similar reactions from the majority of people in town. He was not rich or good-looking, or even particularly sociable, so he figured he had no reason to expect any better. As he walked, he tried to mentally prepare himself for a letdown, knowing that he had built the whole thing up in his mind all week to the point where anything short of a knighthood or a visit from King Gordon himself would have been a disappointment. Whatever it turned out to be, he would not want Davin to think he was not pleased with it, even if it turned out not to be as grand as he had thought. The old man had been so kind to him over the years of his employment that he could not bear the thought of hurting his feelings. He practiced beaming his best surprised smile until it occurred to him that he must have looked like a simpleton to the few passers-by he came across, grinning at nothing in particular as he walked. He eventually reached the front door of the Brown Elk Tavern, a modest two-story structure with whitewashed walls and brown shutters. Light shone from the yellowed windows, casting a blurry tableau of shadows on the street that hinted as to what transpired inside. Raucous laughter and shouted conversation mixed with the tinkling of glass and stoneware to give the tavern a welcoming air. He breathed deep and steeled himself for whatever lay inside, then painted his best expectant look on his face and pushed the door open in front of him. The Brown Elk was a well-loved establishment among the locals of Scar Harbor. Most nights, the large common room was filled to capacity, and on busy nights, the mezzanine level overlooking that common room would be close to overflowing its railings. That night, however, things were a bit out of sorts. A number of small square tables that normally stood scattered about the room had been pushed together by one wall to form a makeshift banquet table, with a large tablecloth draped across them all to make the whole arrangement look quite proper. Crowded around the table were a great many people that Kairos was familiar with, though many were just passing acquaintances. There were several members of the Scrivener's Guild from both Scar Harbor and several nearby towns, a few neighbors from the buildings adjacent to Davin's shop, merchants with whom he had dealt frequently, and some men he recognized as friends of Davin. At the head of the table sat expert Davin Chartler himself, laughing at something one of the men next to him had said, and hoisting a mug of ale. Next to Davin, and not taking a seat, was a distinguished-looking older gentleman, dressed in black and standing straight, as if a board had been tucked down the back of his shirt. A great cheer greeted Kairos as his arrival was noted, and a number of tankards and mugs were raised. "Kairos!" they shouted in unison, giving the impression that they had rehearsed the welcome ahead of time. "Have a seat, friend," said Gruder, owner of a local pastry shop, who sat near the far end of the table from Davin. Gruder then stood and pulled out a chair for Kairos, the seat exactly opposite Davin's, at the other head of the table. Kairos's face flushed bright crimson. 20 or so people were more than he spoke to in a typical day, and he felt out of place at the center of their attention, like an actor thrust into a role at the last moment, never having read the script. Words failed him utterly. He must have stood there stunned for longer than he thought, because the next thing he knew, Gruder had a hand on his shoulder, guiding him to his seat. Am I late? Kairos managed to stammer out once the initial shock wore off.
No, no, not at all, my boy, yelled Davin down the length of the table. You are right on time, as usual. It is just that I had arranged for everyone else to be early, you see.
Davin smiled, apparently at his own cleverness. Gruder managed to deliver the guest of honor to his seat, and then resumed his own seat, just to Kairos's right. Once everyone had settled down, Davin stood up and produced a small cylindrical case, the same case that had piqued Kairos's curiosity earlier in the day. He withdrew the contents, several sheets of parchment, and tapped them on the table to straighten them out a bit. Turning his attention to his guests, he cleared his throat.
Well, let us get down to the reason for this little gathering, shall we? Davin said. Friends and colleagues, as you may have already surmised, I have a great announcement to make. This gentleman to my left is Cornelius, steward to His Majesty King Gordon.
At this, several guests gaped openly, and there was a bit of murmuring.
He is here at His Majesty's behest to aid me in settling my affairs in order before I leave for Golis. I've been offered and most gratefully accepted His Majesty's post as the next royal scribe.
Davin paused here, no doubt fully expecting his friend's reaction. There were several who clapped, some cheered. Kairos felt faint and could only stare dumbly at his employer.
I have been given this opportunity because our dear colleague, Mr. Oriadel Connaughton, heretofore His Majesty's personal scribe, has fallen ill with an affliction resulting from his advanced years and has resigned the position to spend his remaining years with his family. I have already conveyed my well wishes to Mr. Connaughton and his family, and I shall be visiting them on my way to Golis to deliver my respects in person. As a member in good standing of the Scrivener's Guild, I would like to toast His Majesty for his continued support of our craft, despite the ever-intrusive designs of the typesetters and their infernal presses. To King Gordon, may his wisdom be passed down through all the ages.
Everyone raised his mug and drank deeply, including Kairos, who found that someone had pressed a tankard of ale into his hand while he was not paying attention.
Now, of course, there remains the small matter of what will become of my shop once I have moved out of it, Davin said. I must admit that over the years I have grown to become quite fond of the place, and I am loath to leave it behind. But of course duty calls, and I must answer. Therefore I have made the decision that I must sell my beloved home, for that is what it is to me, as much as it has been a workplace. And as His Majesty is currently without the services of a royal scribe, the sale must be made in all haste. Since I cannot bear to sell it to a stranger, I had thought to ask one of you to buy it from me. We shall auction it right now, with payment due immediately. Let us begin as modestly as possible, at a single eckel. There was a general bewilderment at this sudden turn of events. That the men gathered at the table were ill prepared for such an undertaking was obvious. Kairos could not believe what was happening. Davin was auctioning off his home. His home. The both of theirs. While it was perfectly within his right to do so, Kairos could not believe Davin had not forewarned him.
Well, anyone? One eckel?
There was a general muttering up and down the length of the table, muttered excuses of coin purses left at home and the like. Gruder gave Kairos an elbow in the side, and Kairos noticed that nobody at the table would admit to having so much as a single one-eckel coin among them. Fumbling in his vest pocket, Kairos withdrew the first coin his fingers closed on. He gave a quick glance at the denomination and slapped it down on the table.
10 eckels,
Kairos cried as everyone turned their gazes in his direction. Silence fell over the gathering as they waited for someone to respond.
Well, we have a bid of 10 eckels. Do I hear any other bids?
Silence followed Davin's question. After a moment, Davin deemed it suitable to continue, having given everyone enough time to protest, should they so choose.
10 eckels it is, then.
Davin smiled at Kairos and beckoned to him with one hand, the hand not holding the speech that had turned Kairos' world on its head that evening.
Congratulations, my boy. Let us just get the deed signed over to you, which Cornelius has conveniently brought along.
At a nod from Davin, the old steward retrieved a small strong box from the floor in the corner of the room, where it had lain unnoticed. Cornelius placed it on the table and withdrew from it some papers, a quill and ink. Starting to put the pieces together and figure out what precisely was going on, Kairos cautiously made his way down to Davin's end of the table. The whole thing gave Kairos the impression of one of the old, trite plays that Davin so enjoyed watching. Kairos and Davin both signed the contracts that Cornelius had drawn up to complete the sale, and Kairos could not help but get the feeling that there was something missing. As if on cue, Davin interrupted his musings.
Of course, to keep the old place in use, there will have to be a member of the Scrivener's Guild there to oversee things. Now, Kairos, I know you've been painfully aware that I've been remiss in my duties to you as a mentor of late. You are long overdue for your journeymanship, as I have long admitted. Now, close your eyes. I have something for you.
Kairos did as he was told and shut his eyes, grinning broadly. At last, he would get his official membership into the guild. He had waited perhaps a year longer than was considered the norm, but today would make up for all of that. He would also be the only journeyman in Eastern Acardia to own his own shop. He could hardly contain his excitement as he first heard Davin step around behind him, and then the clatter of a fine metal chain. He felt Davin lower the chain over his head. It had to be his journeyman's medallion, a symbol of his new status as a guild member.
Now, Davin said, I know that the guild does not forbid a journeyman from maintaining his own shop, but the general public does not place their trust lightly, and it is difficult for a journeyman to gain that trust, not having been recognized by the guild as an expert in his field. You should not have to worry, though.
Kairos's eyes shot open. He looked down at his chest and did not see the journeyman's medallion he had first expected. What he saw was the emblem of an expert scrivener, a golden S curled around a quill. He spun around to face Davin, the question on his mind written upon his face as clearly as his gifted hands could ever have managed.
At the last meeting of the guild, when I found out about my new station, I remembered to recommend you, Davin said. I had some of your work along with me for them to review, and I had to somewhat sheepishly confess to my own dereliction in not presenting your case sooner. Needless to say,
Davin reached over and gave Kairos's medallion a meaningful flick.
They were impressed. Oh, to be sure, there were a few who thought that despite your talent, You should progress through the ranks the same way everyone else has to. But these are difficult times. The Typesetters Guild is gaining prominence as they refine those blasted machines that make a mockery of our art. We cannot let a brilliant scribe languish as a journeyman when his works should be heralded as those of a true expert. Now enough of all this seriousness. Let us celebrate. Davin picked up his mug of ale, and the other guests did likewise, raising their voices in toasts of congratulations for Davin and Kyrus both. Another mug found its way into Kyrus's hand, and he lifted it along with the others. Few among the guests were hard drinkers, and the night's revelry was fairly brief. Kyrus, who rarely drank anything more potent than wine, was the first to pass out.